Elsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad. Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 10 o'clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Well, we've got a... Oh, it is working. I thought we had a dead battery on the microphone, but I guess I was wrong. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Glad you made it out this morning to the Lord's house for our worship service and a chance to receive the Lord's gifts and word and sacrament. It's a blessing to be with you today. Apologies up front for the mistaken note rubric at the beginning of the service there. Our service is not beginning from the back of the sanctuary this morning, but instead we'll just ask you to rise on the last verse of the opening hymn. But so that's a little confusing. Apologize for that. Glad to be together this morning, and today we celebrate what we call Holy Cross Day. It's the day that we remember again the cross of our Lord Jesus and what he accomplished for us there. And the Apostle Paul, he has some great things to say about this, some important things in the book of 1 Corinthians, which we'll look at during the service. So we wish you the Lord's blessings. We wish the same to those who are tuned in on the radio this morning. Thanks for joining us for our service here at Trinity. So we begin with hymn 702 in your hymnal, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, and we do invite everybody to stand for that on the last verse of that hymn, and we'll process in during the last verse. Let's begin hymn 702. Let's see.
Thank you.
name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We continue with our Kyrie this morning. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, your Son, Jesus Christ, was lifted high upon the cross that he might bear the sins of the world and draw all people to himself. Grant that we who glory in his death for our redemption may faithfully heed his call to bear the cross and follow him, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament lesson for this, the celebration of Holy Cross Day, comes from the book of Numbers in the 21st chapter. From Mount Hor, they sent out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten when he sees it shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the children up now to the front for our children's sermon. Well, hello. Hello, Joseph. Hello, Charlotte. Hello, Aaron. Hello, Danica. Hello, Victor. Hello, Gus. What's up, dog? How you doing? Hey, have you guys ever played the game hide and seek?
Yes.
If you haven't ever played hide and seek, raise your hand if you've never played it. Oh, no hands, huh? I wonder about all the adults out there. Have you ever played hide and seek? If you have, raise your hand. I think everybody's played hide and seek, right? Have you ever played hide and seek at the church building? A few of you? Oh, today? Oh, okay. A really good hiding spot. Oh, yeah. There's some good hiding spots at the church. Yeah, that's true. Did you ever know this? Did you know that God played hide and seek one time?
Oh.
True. He's a ginormous God. Mm-hmm. Did you know God has played? Did you know that God has played hide and seek? Yeah, he has. Yeah. Oh, back in the book of Genesis. Okay. Back in the book of Genesis, remember the story. Adam and Eve, they made a really bad mistake and they sinned. And what did they go do? They went and hid. Yeah, they hid from God. And God had to be the one in the game of hide and seek that had to go find them. Right? Okay. God went and found Adam and Eve and they were hiding, right? And God called out to them and said, "Adam, where are you?" And they were hiding because they were afraid. Did you know that? That is not how hide and seek started, I don't think, but maybe actually. Maybe we've discovered we've discovered how hide and seek started, right? It's in the Bible. Good thought, good thought. Adam and Eve were hiding from God, and did you know that sin causes everybody to run and hide from God? And sometimes people don't want to be where God is. And when they hear about God, they don't want to show up. And they hide from him in their lives. And they get involved in all kinds of things that keep them away from God. But this brings us to an important thing. Your guys' memory verse from Ezekiel chapter 34. Can anybody remember verse 11?
Not me.
Oh, go ahead. Tell us what it is. Good job. Wow. Behold, he will search for his sheep. Yes, Aaron. I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe it wasn't a really good spot, huh? Yeah, so God is still going about, this is the point, God is still going about all the time searching for the lost, searching for those who are hiding. And that's what God does. And you know how he does it? He does it... Well, that's just a game, right? But in real life, God is looking for people all the time. And he does that by his word. When he speaks the message of the cross, that's what we're celebrating today, Holy Cross Day. When he speaks the message of the cross, that Jesus died on the cross for our forgiveness, that's God out looking for all his lost ones and all those who are hiding. Did you know that? That's true. He goes and looks through his word. Would you guys fold your hands and bow your heads and close your eyes and we'll pray. Repeat after me, guys. Ready? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you always go out looking for your lost. Bless us today and keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks, guys. You can go back to your seats. I didn't know we would discover the origin of hide and seek today. That was awesome. Our epistle lesson this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God, through the folly of what we preach, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand for our Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
We sing together the doxology. Would you join us now in confessing our faith together to the words of the Nicene Creed? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We now join together in our sermon hymn. That's hymn 662, Onward Christian Soldiers.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Love that hymn. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. But I do know that sometimes people misunderstand what sort of battle we're fighting as Christians. And they think, oh, that's a song about, you know, the church actually going to war. Yes and no. We're not talking about the church going out and committing atrocities, of course, but about the church's battle against sin and death in the world through the proclamation of the gospel. Through the message of the cross, we go to battle each and every day, and we fight with strong arms and a strong leader, the strongest, our Lord Jesus. We hear about, in our reading from 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul say these words, proclaims them loudly and boldly. He says, we preach Christ and him crucified. That's no better day to proclaim this than our celebration of the Feast of the Holy Cross. But tell me it's not true that to the world that we live in, they don't have much appreciation for the cross, for the message of the cross. And the text acknowledges that. It says that the message of the cross is folly or foolishness to those who are perishing. There's a lot who have no use for it at all in their daily lives. They don't have a use for the cross. They don't see the point. They look at Jesus and his cross. They look at his church out of the corner of their eye. Skeptical at best. Some will even abashedly say, I had one person actually say this to me one time, sharing with them about the church and about the gospel. The answer was, why would I want that? To some, this message that we celebrate today, the message that means so much to us, is a myth or a joke, a waste of their time. And you might think, well, Pastor, don't go too far there. Some people might not appreciate the church, but they might still believe in Jesus. True. But I always have a question there. If we truly love Jesus, how could we despise his church, his own body, his gifts, his blessed sacraments, the preaching and teaching of his word? I don't think it's possible. I think there's a lot of masquerading that's going on, people splitting hairs in their thinking, living lives in practice of not Christian religion, but worldly religions. Saying they love Jesus, but avoiding him like the plague. There's lots of religions out there in the world. It's an interesting perspective when we begin to look at the world with more of those kinds of eyes. People are practicing religion all the time, constantly in their lives. There's lots of them. One of those religions is pretty popular today. It's physique. People pour themselves, their blood, sweat, and their tears, and their money into looking like the spectacle person. It's a religion. They're worshiping like the ancient Greeks and Romans. They're worshiping the human body. They go to sleep thinking about it. They wake up thinking about it. It takes over their life. There's religions of self-improvement, trying to always be better and better and better and better. Or there's religions that we often see even on places like city council. Religion of progress. Everybody has an idea of what progress looks like. And pretty soon it's a religious activity to try to progress according to their own ideas, and they pour their time and their blood, sweat, and tears and their money and their investments all into some concept of progress. Where we're supposed to go. There's religions of masculinity. This is what guys do. There's religions of feminism. Some worship sports. I imagine there's many faithful followers right now doing that very thing. Now, all of these things are good, God-pleasing gifts that he gives to the world. But when they take the place of Christ, when they take the place of God in our lives, and our lives become about them, then we have a problem. And the result, the message of the cross becomes folly. And other things become more important. The gifts of God are so beautiful and so wonderful. And he pours them out so freely every week in every town. The gifts that flow from his cross, his own body and blood. The water of holy baptism, St. John's gospel, that from his side came blood and water. These are the holy sacraments, the gifts to the church. And they're offered freely. Like Isaiah says in chapter 55 of his prophecy, come and eat and drink without pay, without money. But so many won't make time for it. Sometimes the church even gets into this routine of saying, well, what could we do, which is a good thought, to reach out to folks who don't seem to care? What could we change about the church in order that maybe people would then pay attention? I don't think there's much, friends. It's not really about what we do or how we come at things, but it's about the fact that the message of the cross doesn't matter to them. And we pray that those who are dead set against that, that don't have time for Jesus and his love and Jesus and his forgiveness, that somehow this cross is powerful enough that it goes to them too, this message, and it changes their hearts. And they see the beautiful nature of what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ. And they're drawn by the Holy Spirit. Come to receive his gifts, not to despise his sacraments, but to receive them. See, because that's what we're hearing about in Genesis in the children's sermon, right? That's how we would all naturally respond. We'd hide, we'd run, we'd try to get away from God. That's what sin does. That's what it causes. So it's not that we're better than anyone else. Please don't hear me wrong. But here we sit. This morning, gathered around his word in the fellowship of the church. But it's not because of us. It's not because of anything we've done or left undone, but because of the grace of God 100%. Because he came and interrupted our lives when we didn't know how important and amazing it was, this great salvation. And now we do. And we're learning. He opened our eyes. He opened our ears. Just like he did for all those people in the gospel accounts, in those narratives of the gospel, when he made the deaf hear and the blind see. This is all a picture of what he's done for his church. He's allowed us to see the cross. And the message of the cross, even though it's foolishness to those who are perishing, to us who believe, it is the power of God. If we can see that, it's no thanks to us. It's thanks to him. The Holy Spirit, this is how the Catechism puts it, the Holy Spirit has called us by the gospel. It's not by our own reason or strength, but the Holy Spirit has called us by the gospel, enlightened us with his gifts, and keeps us in the one true faith, a trust and the power of the message of the cross. But you got to ask yourself, I think, What is this power of the cross, this message? Why is it the power of God? That's a big statement, right? God's a pretty powerful guy. And Paul's sort of stating that in the message of the cross is the power of God. Can you imagine? It's quite a force. But one of the most beautiful ways, I think, to see and get our heads sort of around the power that we're talking about here is when we talk about something called assurance. And when we say assurance, we're being very specific, talking about this question. How can I be sure that I'm saved? How can I be sure that I'm safe with God? That if today, tonight, tomorrow was my last day on earth, how could I know that I would go to heaven, that I would be with Jesus? Or if I have to keep living in this world and struggling through the day-to-day struggles and enjoying the day-to-day joys, through that, how can I be sure? Assurance. And there's lots of answers to that question, friends. Scattered all throughout the religious Christian landscape of our time, people are answering that question in a variety of ways. One of the most famous answers to that question sort of comes out of the same time period as Lutherans, the Protestant Reformation. And in the Protestant Reformation, there were other voices as well. And those voices said, well, see, let me tell you how it works. God chose you before the foundations of the world. It's God's choosing of you that gives you your assurance. And it's true, the scriptures say that God chose us in him before the foundation of the world. But to locate our assurance in a choice that God made, by the way, we don't completely understand that choice. We can't get our heads around what election completely is. It's one of the mysteries of God and his nature. And as soon as we try, we end up stumbling on ourselves over and over. If you want to talk about this more, grab me sometime, we will. But one of the ways that they answer the assurance question, or how can I be sure, is they say, well, God chose you. And then, but how does that rubber meet the road, brothers and sisters? Well, how can I be sure then? We're right back in the same spot. Assurance is in question again. How can I be sure that he chose me? And what do they say? Look at what? Your life. Look at yourself. Are you a believer? Do you listen to God's word? Do you practice the faith? And that sounds kind of enticing, right? Well, yeah, you know, I do my best. But we don't do it perfect. Sometimes we sin and fall short of the glory of God. Sometimes we sin even on purpose because we love this. And then what happens? Oh, that pesky devil, he's real good. He calls that assurance into question like that. And we say, oh, I don't know. If I look at myself, I don't know if I measure up. I don't know if I'm good enough. And the devil, he's even happy to use the scripture. Just like he did in the Bible, right? Because the Bible says, be holy as I am holy. Are you holy? Do you really live good enough? Anytime the sights are focused back on us and our assurance of salvation is dependent on us, anytime what we're looking at to see if we're safe, we're in deep, deep trouble, friends. That's right where this devil would love to have us. Because we make mistakes and we sin. That's one way that they answer the question, is they try to put it in a choice of God, either before the fall or after the fall, either superlapsarian or infralapsarian. And another way they try to answer it is they come over here and they say, well, it's about your choice. It's about your commitment. It's about your decisions. You can be sure that you're safe with God because you made a choice. And I always have to ask, well, what about all the other choices we make? How do those measure up to the choice I supposedly made for God? Again, sights focused on you. Sights focused on me. We're looking at ourselves and our lives and our actions and our decisions and our knowledge, our wisdom, or something like that, as our assurance of salvation. That's another one of the things you hear. But I see something in common there, and I bet you can see it this morning too. That it's all those answers are, look at you, look at you, look at you, look at you. You know how the Lutheran church has always answered this question? They don't say, look at God's supra or infralapsarian choice, or look at your decisions or your commitment. Who are you? That's how you know you'll be safe. That's where you'll get your assurance. The Lutheran church in our Book of Concord and in our confessions, this is what they say that the scripture's teaching us. Look at the cross. Stop beating yourself up and look at what Jesus did for you when he died for you on the cross. Quite simple, quite beautiful. Anytime the devil draws that assurance into question, anytime he says, well, you've left your baptism, you've gone on your way, we hear the word of God. The message of the cross is the power of God to those who believe. Anytime our assurance is in question, we look to the cross and we see that Jesus died for us. He died for you. And this is faith that you can feel swelling up in the heart when you think these thoughts, right? This trust in Jesus, this faith that clings to the promises of God, that cross, was it for me? Yes, it was. Does it stop being for me because I make mistakes? No, it doesn't. Is his forgiveness as real this moment as it was last night or yesterday or the day before? Yes, it is. Because that cross stands, just like Moses with his bronze serpent holding it up, and the people would look at it and live. As long as that cross stands, as long as Jesus has died on the cross for our sins, we're safe. Because his blood covers all our sins. So where is the wise of this age that want to point people back to their own lives for their assurance? That's foolishness. The wisdom of God displayed one place and one place only, in his eternal Logos, in his Son Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins. And that's what we go out with when we say, onward, Christian soldier. Marching as to war, we're bringing the message of that cross. Just like Jesus told us to, when he said that repentance and the forgiveness of sins must be proclaimed throughout the whole world, beginning at Jerusalem, when he said, go ye therefore unto all nations and baptize and teach. We go out to war, yeah, with the message of the forgiveness of sins. The message that the cross was for you. For you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able for prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Almighty God, give us grace to proclaim the triumph of the cross throughout the world so that all would rejoice in the victory of that love which hate could not destroy. And that life which death could not overcome. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear
our prayer. O Lord, your Son's cross and crucifixion is folly to the world, but it is the source of repentance and forgiveness for all his elect. Preserve the preaching of the cross in our midst, that from this life-giving tree we could continually receive your faith-preserving gifts. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, remember in mercy all pastors, deaconesses, and servants of your church, and enable them by your Spirit to proclaim that wisdom of the cross in a world, Lord, where it's going to battle in the hearts of so many that refuse it. Lord, remind us when we see people rejecting the faith, Lord, that you love those people and that your word is powerful and the message of the cross is your power. Lord, work mightily in our family members and friends that we pray for every day that they might believe. Work in a mighty way, Lord, and create faith and trust in you in the heart. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Father in heaven, look with favor on the households of our congregation and grant that all may live in love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And Lord, help us to have a gentle way with one another, to be kind to each other in our homes. Lord, don't let anger or bitterness have the win. Lord, but remind us that we're your children. And help there be reconciliation wherever there needs to be it. Lord, help there be peace wherever there's conflict. And protect our homes from the evil one. Lord, in your mercy, ruler of the nations, bring an end to war, hatred, and bloodshed, that all people would know your peace, love, and justice. Protect those who serve, Lord, in our armed forces, in our police, and our first responders, our doctors and our nurses, even as they labor, Lord, to protect and take care of us. Lord, be their strength and their anchor and their stay. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Father, we commend to you all who have requested our intercessions this day from the altar. We name before you this morning Betty Patton's brother, Gary and Joette Iser, Carly Moore. We lift up, Lord, the Rocky Mountain District to you as well. Lord, remember and be with Lauren Belfer and Katie Philly and Izzy Wieskamp and Connie Hauser and Letha and Tom Hershey and Jairus Yetzi and Helen Almdale, Lauren O'Howe, Jeff Autopolic, Frank and Audra Rendon, Greg Gonzalez, Larry Reinberger, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson. Lord, we also lift up to you the families of the Evergreen School, Lord, that was affected this last week. We lift up, Lord, all the trouble in our nation, the Kirk family, Lord, and every evil force that comes against your people, Lord, we pray that you'd protect us from it. For we know that you've won the war. You've defeated sin and death forever. And Lord, you're constantly working for our good. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, the fall of Adam closed the way to the tree of life. But the death of Christ on the tree of the cross has opened to us the way of everlasting life. Give us the fruit of his cross this morning. Your forgiveness, your life, and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, we give you thanks for all the faithful who have gone before us. Keep us in faith until you bring us to share at last with them in the unending joy of your kingdom. Lord, truly, you guide us each and every day. In you we move and live and have our being, and all things are yours. Lord, help us see your love and care in all the things of our daily lives. Lord, protect our hearts from being drawn away to idolatry. Protect our hearts from serving in false religions and worshiping other things, Lord, and keep us stayed on you. Lord, in your mercy. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. We come to the time in our service for our tithes and offerings. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we'll enjoy some instrumental music from our organist. You've been joining us on the radio this morning. We thank you for tuning in to our service, and we do wish you the Lord's blessings and the continual assurance that Jesus' cross and resurrection was for you. If you're gathered in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to page 9 in your bulletin, and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love, shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, we pray in his name and as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you. And may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. FBI crime lab information on the accused shooter of political activist Charlie Kirk is due to come out Tuesday, says Utah Governor Spencer Cox. On the man in custody, Tyler Robinson.
He has not confessed to authorities. He is not cooperating. But all the people around him are cooperating, and I think that's very important.
A year after egg prices and food prices in general was a political issue, eggs are up 10.9% since last year, says the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Ground beef is up nearly 13%. Steaks up more than 16%. Apples and tomatoes more expensive. Officials say Ukrainian drones have struck one of Russia's largest oil refineries and sparked a fire. Recent Ukrainian drone attacks against Russian oil facilities and rising demand have caused gasoline shortages in Russia. This is ABC News.
Back to the music on KSPK-FM and streaming live on KSPK.com.
Slide.